Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We welcome you aboard today. We pray that you will have insight and educational encouragement, and that you would also be inspired and challenged to be what God would have you to be in serving Him in a darkened, dying, declining society in which we're living. I don't say that, by the way, in a negative sense. I say that simply in realism, in the realization and the recognition that we need to face the issues based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to His disciples, "If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, it's through knowing the Word of God that we have that freedom that God would want us to have in knowing Him and a better relationship. Jesus said to His disciples then in John 17:17, a very powerful statement when He said, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, we face the issues. We do so based on the moral, ethical, biblical, solid foundation of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. No other source book can we go to find truth as we find it in the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, a text that I have used many, many times on this broadcast, dealing with what we're finding in the last days, I believe would be appropriate for us to think on as we introduce a subject today that most are not talking about. Churches have simply, in some way, circumvented it, and so many times just simply embraced the sin thereof. But the Scripture says, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and following, Paul says, "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." You've heard me say before, and let me reiterate it. That means dangerous, dark, depraved, deadly, difficult days shall come. And ladies and gentlemen, we're in that era today that they have come. The Scripture says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful," listen, "unholy, without natural affection." Now, I could read the balance of the text, but without natural affection. And ladies and gentlemen, that is talking about the position that we find ourselves in a society today where we have the so-called transgender movement that is being, if you please, majorly promoted through the fake media, through the LGBTQ and the transgenderism organizations in America and around the globe. America's being brainwashed, ladies and gentlemen, into believing that a person can change his own biological birth sex. We're going to talk about today, is transgenderism real, or is it just defiance against God? Is transgenderism real, or is it simply defiance against God? The Bible warns of the perilous days. In fact, the Apostle Paul warned young Timothy, "Flee youthful lust." And when we look at the Scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, there's a whole lot said in the Scripture in relationship to sexual misconduct and lust that is associated therewith. And so may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we have today the LGBTQ movement, which also embraces the transgenderism. In fact, you realize, ladies and gentlemen, under the LGBTQ movement today and the gender identity movement today, the promoters of transgenderism says in reality there are about 57 different genders. 57 different genders. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, when we had the HRO, the Human Rights Ordinance, I call it the Human Reprobate Ordinance, based on Romans chapter 1, that I so vehemently fought against it. We had defeated that battle, defeated that movement in 2012, came back up in 2015. It was shelved as a result of the outpouring against it in our city. And ultimately, it was passed February 2017 in Jacksonville. The whole organization is headed up by a man in the, I believe it's in Texas, Arizona, he's in the western part of America, that's a presently about a 51, 52-year-old pedophile that bought himself out of a 30-year or life sentence for pedophilia for molesting a 10-year-old boy. He wrote a check to the parents for, I believe it was less than $200,000. I believe if my memory serves me correctly, it was $157,000. And therefore, the parents refused to allow their 10-year-old son to testify in court. So the pedophile got away with it. He is a deep-pocketed mega millionaire, and he has what is called Equality America. And across America, each state has an Equality Florida, an Equality Georgia, et cetera, organization. And at each of those, there will have also LLC corporate entities identifying each county. And they're pushing their agenda to actually demoralize and to destroy our nation. It is because of the rampant push for the sexual promiscuity that's taking place under the leadership of the LGBTQ movement and all of its tentacles across America. Ladies and gentlemen, it's simply a propaganda approach, and it continues to make inroads into cultural thought, inroads into policy and procedure, inroads into the media and their pursuit of the LGBT events and the LGBT agenda is always presented, ladies and gentlemen, by the media in a positive aspect, with a positive light. The educational system is bought into the LGBTQ trans idea. It is being taught as subjects in a variety of ways under the pretense of sexual education. Ladies and gentlemen, all of this is taking place while at the same time we have a major push on what is called the Me Too movement. Me Too movement. Just recently, the head of CBS stepped down, and it's as a result of the Me Too movement. And I don't know what he did, whether it was right or wrong, or whether he was involved in just an accusation. That is not the point that I'm making at this juncture. But the whole point is, here is an aspect, an idea of society with the Me Too movement, that if that person has touched someone, and I don't say that's right, it is wrong, but if that's happened, supposedly that person has committed a horrible crime, he needs to step down, while on the other side of that same coin, if you will, there's a push to allow the loose lax lost living in defiance of the Word of God. May I simply say to us, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching a dual aspect of this subject of promiscuity and illicit sexual activity in America. On one side of the coin, it's supposed to be wrong. That person that's ever done anything, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, it is wrong, and he or she needs to step down, while at the same time, there's a push in America to destroy the lives of our young people today. It is affecting the youth in America today more than most parents would ever realize or consider. I've done a tremendous amount of research on the subject. I have dozens upon dozens upon dozens of articles on my desk in relationship to the subject and who are the movers and shakers and how it's trickling down into the academia in the schools and colleges and universities in our nation. But the thing is so sad, ladies and gentlemen, I can understand in a sense of the wicked media, the fake media, and it's embracing it. And at the same time, with a bifurcation of their mind that they then push against the so-called Me Too movement. I can understand that, but I can't understand, ladies and gentlemen, our politicians, for the most part, have fully embraced this sodomite movement, the LGBTQ movement, and the promotion of transgenderism in our nation. Much of the medical society in America are now involved in the promotion of, or actively involved in, the mutilating of children in the so-called sex change surgical procedures. And they're just absolutely major, major, major studies that talk about the end result and the dangers thereof. In fact, we have, ladies and gentlemen, our churches today. Churches are embracing the philosophy and the ideology of the movement of the LGBTQ. It has affected major denominations. Major denominations today under the guise of we need to love everybody. And so we embrace the immoral, ungodly, unholy LGBT sodomite movement and the groups associated therewith. And ladies and gentlemen, a lot of this is coming out of the Planned Parenthood organization. They're writing the curriculum for the schools all the way from kindergarten through high school. They're involved heavily in the movement with the LGBTQ in the college and the university set. But ladies and gentlemen, let's face the real issue. This entire LGBTQ, transgender, homosexual movement in America, and the bottom line is, it is an attempt to defy God. It's an attempt to defy the Word of God. It's an attempt to undermine and rewrite what is biblical truth. You see, the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, that God created male and female, created he them, the scripture says. That is, he created a man and a woman. And God's ideal and God's plan for man and woman is to procreate and to replenish the earth and to produce godly offspring that will produce other godly offspring that God might be magnified and lifted up. One physician that's pushing back against the ungodly movement said that it is nothing less than the mutilation of our children. Here's the article. Transgender campaign surgically mutilating our children. The president of the American College of Pediatricians has come to the defense of an Australian physician who is under investigation for retweeting a post critical to radical gender indoctrination of children. He says the pushback on radical gender indoctrination of our children is something that ought to be done. Physicians pushing back against this pervasive tyrannical transgender ideology that is gaslighting, chemically castrating, and surgically mutilating our children must come to an end. Ladies and gentlemen, you won't hear that on the fake media. You won't hear that on the drive-by news, on any news broadcast. But this is at least one, and I don't know if there are others doing the same or not, but this is already permeating all of Europe. America is now on the teetering on the balance scale of which direction we're going in as a nation. And ladies and gentlemen, unless we as believers, unless churches, pastors, Christian leaders, unless we are willing to face the bullets, as it's called, and stand in our pulpits and before our people and warn of the dangers and what's happening and bring to the forefront the actual statistical data and facts. Do you realize that the Pew Research poll in 2013 said that we had approximately 0.87% that fit in the category of aberrant religious groups, i.e. transgender, LGBTQ, et cetera, et cetera. 8.87%, less than a percent. CDC, the Center for Disease Controls in Atlanta, Georgia, stated the issue nationally and said that it's 0.67%. So in either event, it's not even a one percentile of the Americans that are in this category. Let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's increase it by 400% and say that there's 4% of Americans that are mixed up and have sexual dysphoria. Somehow, some way, why should 96% of moral, ethical Americans be faced with the agenda of the LGBTQ, transgender, Planned Parenthood, sodomite movement in America? Why should we suffer the consequences of deadly destruction of our families and the family unit? Ladies and gentlemen, God created the home. And in the home, God created moms and dads. And moms and dads are charged with the responsibility to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he will have become old, he will not have departed from it. Proverbs 22:6. And yet we find parents that are saying, no, if my five-year-old son or daughter says they feel feminine or they feel masculine, then I'm going to have them sexually altered so that it will be what their mind says they want to be and what they think. I'll read you an article a little later in this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, that points out the fact that it's the mindset of the crowd mentality that's forcing young people today to more and more go the route, that route in life, thinking that somehow, some way, it's the end thing to do because those in the peer group have said that they're doing it and therefore it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're invited to join this discussion today by dialing 401-1413. 904-401-1413. Get your telephone call straight through to the studio and right to the microphone so we can have dialogue and discussion on this. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, this in fact is a horrifying fact, and it's shown that those who have gone through radical sex change surgical procedures are more likely to commit suicide, some 41% more likely to commit suicide because of unhappiness and depression as a result of that process. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what Satan does not tell you, what Satan does not publicly say, is the end result of the immoral, ungodly, unholy decisions that's made by individuals trying to defy holy God, trying to deny the Word of God, trying to in some way dispose of biblical truth. It is as a result of peer pressure. The rapid increase of children and youth having gender transitional surgery is due to a mental dysphoria about their sexual condition, and it's peer pressure that causes them to do so. Here's an article that says, transgender social contagion study now threatens academic freedom. The former dean of Harvard Medical School is warning that Brown University's failed handling of a controversial study on sexual gender dysphoria poses a threat to academic freedom. And the article goes on. It's not in a positive sense at the first part of the article, because it's the writer is simply saying that because Brown University did not handle, or Harvard University did not handle their Harvard Medical School warning about Brown University, did not handle their, if you please, academic freedom, did not handle their announcement of what they were doing in their studies, then the end result is there's a scream from the public about it. The body of the article says this: for centuries, universities struggled to protect the ability of their faculties to conduct research seen as offensive, whether by the church, the state, or other powerful influences. Their success in this regard represents one of the greatest intellectual triumphs of modern time, one that sits at the foundation of liberal societies, he wrote. Quote, this is why the stakes are high at Brown University. Its leaders must now allow any single political charge, charged issue, including gender dysphoria, from becoming the thin edge of a wedge that gradually undermines our precious, hard-won academic freedom. Literally, they're pushing to cover or to disguise the study to allow them to continue with that study. But it is, has a biased foundation and fundamental flaw in it. They're taking fundamentally flawed research from the homosexual agenda people and from Planned Parenthood and the LGBTQ group in order to conclude some things that ought not to be. The article goes further than WorldNet Daily, which is an internet news source, reported the study was suppressed by Brown after it concluded the sharp increase in transgenderism among children and teens is likely as a result of social contagion. What does social contagion mean in the context of that statement? Simply that kids, teenagers, young people will generally do what others do in their age group. He goes on to say in this article, he pointed out gender dysphoria is an important issue that cries out for more research because especially from children with the profound, unending, life-altering decisions, end quote. He goes on and suggested that this often occurs with adolescents' claim of gender dysphoria after heavy exposure to social media content extolling or praising the benefits of gender transition. And the article continues this way. But Brown University, under pressure by the LGBT activists, essentially apologized for releasing the study. Brown community members expressed concern that the conclusion of the study would be used to discredit the efforts to support transgender youth and invalidate the perspectives of members of the transgender community. In other words, Brown University's study, which was publicized, says basically that what's causing an increased number of youth to want to have sex change surgeries for transition is because other youth are doing it. Therefore, if one does it, another one wants to do it, and if two dozen then, and not realizing the end result as they get into it, because adults, it should have sense enough to warn them no, and surgeons, it ought to have medical sense enough to say no, are allowing it to continue, and it's proliferating. Literally, it is crowd mentality. This article says the bottom line, and I'm quoting, nearly 90% of those young people who became gender dysphoric did so after some of their friends did also. Quote, this makes it obvious why transgender activists do not want this information to be made public. It suggests many gender dysphoric young people hit a rough patch in life, or several have poor or immature coping skills and got the message from their peers, their or online, or both, and transgenderism was a handy, simple explanation for their feelings of depression and their feelings of not being accepted, and also offered instant social acceptance and attention from their peers. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the bottom line. And yet you'll not hear that on the fake news. You'll not hear that by any of our politicians. You'll not hear that expressed by multitudes even in our churches today, because somehow, some way, there's a sense that we need to embrace all of this ungodly, unholy lifestyle. In fact, when you study Romans chapter 1 and verses about 18 and following, especially picking up in verse 24 and following, you find where the scripture says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which was against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving their natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense or the reward of their error, which was also meet or appropriate, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, God's word cannot be made a fool of. God's word cannot be demeaned or rejected or denied, and somehow thinking that if you can just do that, you can get away with the unholy, immoral, ungodly practices. And yet that's what's happening in our nation today. That's exactly what's taking place as I'm speaking to you today. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it is an issue that is sin. Transgenderism is a social contagion. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole problem is called sin. It is a sin problem. It is the defiance toward God, a defiance toward the Word of God, a refusal to recognize God who created in His order. We're created in God's image. We're created male and female, the scripture says, man and woman. And so this thing that's taking place on a rampant basis in our nation, every Christian pastor, every Christian church, every Christian leader, we should stand and confront this issue and call it sin. I am ever amazed, I am always saddened when I see denominations, entire denominations, embrace this ungodly, unholy, wicked dysphoria and this wicked transgenderism, as it is so aptly called in our nation. And today, colleges and universities are in full steam ahead mode to push the LGBTQ transgender agenda. This is destroying academic standards. It's destroying the quality and the of actual educational standards in our nation. College offers, here's an article that says, colleges offer queerism in the Bible, queering the Bible classes, as they call it. Let me just read you a blurb or two from it. And this is what's happening, ladies and gentlemen, in our institutions of higher learning. And yet moms and dads and grandparents are allowing our kids to go off to these incubators of social change, the incubators of destruction and destroying the brainwashing of the mind of otherwise those that are, how would you say, not knowing of what's happening in the world and how this brainwashing takes place, and they get destroyed in these institutions. This article says, reading the Bible through the lens of queer sexuality is the subject of a number of courses at colleges and even seminaries across the nation, according to Campus Reform. This article says, the goal The goal will be to bring the sampling, the efforts to revise traditional college theologies, listen, revise traditional Christian theologies in order to accept and affirm same-sex love. Now, if that's not in your face, ladies and gentlemen, nothing is. The whole effort for these courses in the colleges and universities, even in seminaries, God forbid that they even have the name seminaries anymore, if that's what it is, if they're doing that and what they're teaching. It is by trying to change the traditional Christian theologies to force the churches and the schools and those that are coming out of them into the pulpits and in our leadership roles to accept it and to affirm the same-sex love, this article says. We will consider the boundaries between queer theology and queer theory of or between it and political theologies, states the course description. It is designed to test the boundaries, this article says. Here's a portion of this article says, at Swarthmore College in Pennsylvania, students in Queering the Bible will be introduced to the complexities of constructions of sex, gender, gender identity in the most influential literary work ever produced in ancient times, the scripture says. By reading the Bible with methods of queer and trans theoretical approaches, this class destabilizes the long-held assumptions about what the Bible and religion says about gender and sexuality. This article says the course description will be according to campus reform ideas. Eugene Lang College of Liberal Arts at the New School in New York City, querying the decolonization theology, the article says, will implore the sexual ethics and ritualization found in S&M community and the transgender Christ, as it is called. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem is that we as Christians, listen carefully, we as Christians are sitting back in silence. Somehow we've been beaten down into believing that we must embrace this ideological philosophy, that we must embrace everything that's immoral, ungodly, and unholy. We must embrace it and say it's okay. And because we want numbers, nickels, and noses in our churches, because we want the pews filled and the parking lots overflowing, we will embrace and accept anything that will put a human body in the pews and the seats in the church. Ladies and gentlemen, that's antithetical to biblical Christianity. That's antithetical to God's church and the purity that ought to be found in God's church. That's not saying now, ladies and gentlemen, that sinners can't come to church because the church house ought to be filled with sinners seeking a Savior. But there's a vast difference in that in embracing an ungodly, unholy, immoral lifestyle and saying that it's okay. In fact, listen, the bottom line, we've got about a minute to go. The bottom line is this, ladies and gentlemen. Judge Alito, when the same-sex marriage rule was handed down in 2015 by the Supreme Court, Judge Alito said that we could expect this to take place. This article says, transgender fight confirms Alito's bigot's warning in the marriage case. The U.S. Supreme Court has been told that Justice Samuel Alito's warning about discrimination against supporters of traditional marriage, which came when the narrowest of margins of five lawyers on the bench created same-sex marriage for America, appears to be coming true. And this article is an elongated article, but the bottom line is Judge Alito said that this is exactly what America could expect if the Supreme Court ruled okay on same-sex marriage. Ladies and gentlemen, we're facing the end result of immoral, unholy, ungodly decisions that's been made in the past. Our only hope is turn back to the Word of God. Our only hope is simply believe the Word, teach the Word, preach the Word, apply the Word in our lives personally and in our churches. I pray today that you'll take a stand as a Christian and say to everyone, every place, this is wrong, it's immoral, it's unholy, it's unbiblical, it's ungodly, it will not stand for it. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.